I'm Jacob Gimmel, an audio engineer and musician. Creation has been such a huge element in my life, and I believe that everyone in the world should be able to create. If you like this podcast and want to hear more, hit the subscribe button. For many artists and musicians, the dream is to tour, play in studios, and constantly be surrounded by creatives. The stadium-level gigs are beyond the wildest dreams of many musicians, but it is the life that Ari O'Neill has carved out for herself. Her technical ability is incredible, but she also has a performance energy that is unmatched. This is Ari.
Music has always been a really big part of my family. We were living with our grandparents for a while because our family has been through like a lot of financial stuff. So we were living with our grandparents for a while. My grandmother loved classical music. My grandfather loved like Motown and 70s. He really just loved good music that he could dance to. So, and my mother was a dancer. And my father, back in the Virgin Islands, he was in a reggae band. So music has always been like a part of us. I really like that song, Pick Up the Pieces by the Average White Band. And I would just think about that rhythm guitar and said, okay, that's what I'm gonna do. My grandmother would help me a lot. And I knew that it made my grandparents and my parents happy when I would play something right and it sounded good. So that was kind of like my motivation because I wanted to make them happy. But eventually I was just doing it because I liked it. I was like 10 practicing for 4-5 hours just because it just brought so much joy. Once I started getting older and I got to play in churches and clubs and stuff like that, I started practicing at home less, and I was more eager to go do stuff like that because it's totally different when you're playing in your room by yourself versus when you get to play with other people. And then it got a little bit harder as I kept getting older because I started working and then I was in school. It got to the point where my life kind of got crazy. And at one point I wanted to quit, so I wasn't really practicing at all unless it was for church. I worked at a music school doing administrative stuff and it was okay, but I just kept thinking like, this isn't something that I want to deal with for the rest of my life. And then right before I quit my job, I spoke to Aaron Spears, all of them crying because, you know, we're both from DC. I called him crying like, I'm about to do this and I don't know if I'm going to be okay. And he just told me, it's always gonna be okay. You just have to trust in yourself. That leap is the hardest. But once you make it, it's no going back. And he told me that I'll be fine. And at the end of that year, that's when I got Coachella. I didn't think it was real at first because I got another opportunities to tour and they didn't pick me. And even when I got off the phone and, you know, sending in my videos and, you know, waiting to hear the call, I still was kind of ready to accept that I wasn't going to get it. Like, I lost a Chris Brown gig that same year. There was one I got asked to do, Kiara Sheard. One Algebra, and I lost them all. And I didn't think that I would make it, but I was just honored that I even got that call. I still didn't believe it until I actually got on the plane. I've never seen anything like that in my life. And it was so cool to see. I wasn't really nervous, but I was more so excited. I knew that if that was gonna be my last time performing in front of an audience like that, I wanted it to be big. Because everybody had worked so hard and everybody was doing so well, so I wanted to do well too. I was nervous at first because I already knew most of those girls from social media. I knew I wasn't dealing with the average girls. Like, they were the truth. And I knew that I would be able to hold my own, but still being in that environment, I was worried that I didn't belong there at first. But they were so nice, and they made it such a inviting environment.
As I stop and think about Ari's trajectory into music, I've had similar emotions about music. She felt rewarded for her musical work. She saw this as a contrast between her desk job. I've also felt purpose in the arts, and yet I need to survive. I've taken the skills that I've learned through music and I've applied them in the corporate world. Corporate has its own set of rewards and challenges, but it will never beat the feeling of being on stage. She landed the gig of a lifetime, having the name Beyoncé in a person's portfolio adds a deity kind of essence. And I'm not usually a big fan of name dropping, but if there's one name to drop, that one's gonna be a full stop. As the conversation with Ari starts, I begin to be nostalgic about living in the DC area. And for people who don't know what the DMV is, what would you say to them?
What would I say to them? Where you been at? The DMV? Oh my gosh. I feel like I don't know, maybe I'm just a little too hyped up on the musicians we have here, but I feel like we got some of the creme de la creme out here. So y'all need to get hit.
I definitely miss the DC area, the musicianship, and also the food too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think New York has their own version of mumbo sauce now. They tried to claim that, but no, that's ours.
Do you think Go-Go will have a comeback?
I don't think it ever left. Oh my God. Like, even like the end of Coachella, the last song, it sat so good in that like little pocket. And that was DC right there. Also, I think that in DC, you can always find a go-go show or just live music in general, but go-go never ended here.
Tell me about the pivots that you've made through COVID.
At first, I wasn't worried. Because in the beginning with everyone else, we kind of thought that it was going to be over by the summer. But then once that kind of ran over and it's like, oh no, it's here. That's when things started getting a little more complicated. Like, I've lost about 7, maybe 8 gigs. At the beginning of the year, I was booked. And then I was getting gigs throughout COVID, but they were getting canceled left and right. And thankfully, I was saving up a lot when I was touring. So my savings from tour has really been clutch. But it's weird being at home for so long, you know?
I know you're really good at your craft and you work really hard. Tell me how this looks working from home.
Wow. First of all, thank you. It's kind of like what it used to be before I started. Minus the 5 jobs that I was working. Now it's a lot of practicing at home. During like the beginning of the pandemic, it was a lot of recording, which I was very excited about. I had no idea what I was doing, but I kind of just said yes and figured it out. So it was figuring out that, a lot of practicing, and a lot of creating. It gave me time to do all the things that I said that I didn't have time to do. like for a long time, I didn't know how to use Logic or Ableton or any of that stuff by myself. Like I knew it a little bit, but I knew I would always have help. But this time, the most help I got was over the phone. So I really had to sit down and learn it because I didn't have any excuses. I wasn't on tour. I wasn't working anyway. So let's learn at home, you know?
Did you do any of the socially distanced shows?
In the beginning, I'll say in April, we did a live show with Fantasia from Charlotte. So we did that. I think it was Hard Rock somewhere, some kind of blues club or something like that. And we performed together there in Charlotte. As far as other shows, I mean, other than the stuff I did with St. John, but that was for a recording anyway, but not really.
Do you think that the way that we've experienced music through COVID will have a lasting effect on how we will experience music?
I kind of hope so, only because looking at all these live shows that people would stream, like the money that you can make off of that, I feel like if they added that to tour, like for people who can't leave work and they can't come out to the concert, giving them the option to buy less expensive tickets to stream a live show, I think that is so lucrative. And it made me wonder why this wasn't being done already, because it was a lot of really, really cool live shows. And I think it would be really awesome if they could add that to an actual tour circuit.
What about for you? Do you think your process will continue to change?
I hope so. I mean, I think because we got to sit down, I don't know why, but the fact that people were asking me to do that kind of stuff during the pandemic and not before, I'm just grateful that they asked, because I would never get asked to do stuff like that. But I would get asked to go to the studio and like lay some like guitar loops down or something like that, but never to actually like produce a track or lay it down for like a professional artist, their track. So I hope that continues, because I really enjoy it.
Has Logic been tough to learn? What has your experience been like learning Logic?
It wasn't at all. And once I really got the hang of it, I was like, why didn't I do this sooner? Like, all you have to do is sit with it. If you have any questions, just call your friends. And when it comes to like making friends out here in DC, when it comes to the gig, once I do it, I pack myself and I go. Not unless my friends are there. I'm not one to sit around and socialize. I mean, if the owner of the club or something is there, then of course, you know, to be respectful, I'll hang. But most of the time, I just want to go home. So I don't really feel comfortable asking people those kinds of questions because I don't really have like music friends here. But I was able to get a couple that I felt comfortable enough to ask those questions. But literally, it took me maybe 3-4 days. And I was kicking myself. I could have done this a while ago.
Do you think that this will help push you to become a better musician?
Yes, definitely. Definitely, because I feel like knowing this, I'm kind of opening myself up more opportunity. I feel like that's anybody. If you know how to do multiple things, you get called to do more things. And you can always take bits and pieces from everything that you're doing to help you with other stuff.
Do you feel that music has helped you to be a better person?
Not necessarily, but I have noticed like it does impact my mood sometimes and the way I handle different situations. Like I have different playlists for different things. And right now, I've been reading a lot about like the unconscious mind and how it's so important what we listen to, what we watch, people that we have around, because those things, they stick to you whether you know it or not, and it can affect your whole day. So now in the mornings, instead of listening to like morning shows or, you know, gossip podcasts or anything like that, I'll start off with like a calm playlist or inspirational playlist so I can start my day off the right way.
Do you think that once COVID ends, there may be a musical renaissance?
Yeah, I think once we get back to whatever our version of normal is going to be, people are just going to be hungry to get out. Not necessarily music, but they'll just want to get out and interact and be with people, you know? So I do think that when it comes to concerts and things like that and shows, people are going to be very eager just to get out. It's going to be crazy.
What role do you think music can play in politics?
I think it has played a major role already just from different artists speaking out. I mean, people in the entertainment industry are already pretty liberal anyway. But the fact that you have these artists and these musicians who are still openly speaking out, who are protesting and making their voices heard, saying, hey, this is not right. I think that knowing that your favorite artist is saying this can influence other people, because you have people who are looking up to them and they're hearing their favorite artist say, no, I don't support not letting trans people join the military. That's not right. That's not our business. Hearing your favorite artist say that and you're inspired by this person is kind of like, okay, maybe it is wrong because she says it's wrong, so I'm guessing it's pretty wrong. You know, I was so proud to see all the artists that were speaking out.
With the insurrection that happened in January, how can we prevent something like this from ever happening again?
I don't know. It kind of felt like the fact that so many people, it's not the fact that they are Republicans and they're conservative and all that kind of stuff. It's the fact that you can vote for somebody who clearly does not care about you. And it was crazy watching it because I was watching it on TV as it was happening in DC. I was actually supposed to go there so I could pick up some CBD from my favorite shop, but I turned on the news and I saw what was going on. The fact that you can vote for somebody who will incite a riot like that, who can disrespect handicapped people, Black people, just minorities in general, and women like that. Somebody who lied about the virus because he didn't want people to panic. It's just, and then to see those people who actually raided the Capitol, and I'm thinking, like, he's not even fighting for you. He's trying to protect people who already have money. You're working a regular 9-to-5. He does not care about you. And I don't think there's anything that we can do, because the fact that there were so many people who supported this man just because he hated other people, it shows how much hate is actually here. And what can we do about that? That's a them thing.
What advice can you give to a young musician who has witnessed political injustices?
If this is something that you really love to do, and this is something that you want to pursue professionally, you have to understand that once you finish doing the work, or as you're doing the work, learning your instrument, learning your music, it's going to be your job one day to use your influence to do the right thing. So you just keep practicing and doing your music, but you stand up for what's right when it's time and speak when you know it's time to speak.
Maybe there's a person out there who is facing a similar kind of challenge that you faced. Maybe they've discovered their instrument. What kind of advice do you have for them?
I guess just know that you'll probably never feel like you're worthy or like you're supposed to be that one, or that you'll get picked, or that you may even think you're not unique or special enough, but just keep doing what you're doing. As long as you know that you're doing your best, rest easy and know that somebody is going to notice it. And it may happen overnight and it may not. I was 25. And there are some people who I know who are older. There was this one guy, I think he was 35, 36, who started his first tour on keys. You just have to know when it's your time, it's your time. But only if you've really been doing your best.
I know a lot of people are depressed right now. It almost feels like a mass-scale depression. Is there anything you would like to say to a person who may be going through that?
Wow. Just know that we're all there. Everybody is hurting. Everybody had plans, stuff that they were supposed to do, stuff that was supposed to happen, money that was supposed to come in, and it's all stopped. So you're not alone. And just know that everything is going to be okay. Even when you don't think it is, stressing about it is not going to make it easier. Worrying about money or your next gig or, you know, getting yourself out there, worrying about it is not going to make it easier. Just believe that it's going to be okay and you keep doing what you're supposed to do.
Thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate your time.
Sounds cool. Thank you for having me.